If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the empty holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life.
If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. For saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
If you believe it, receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Came stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me free. Finds me crying in the rain, all alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Jesus, rescue me, set me free.
me out, paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chain of sin and set me free.
Still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Soon I'll join the road in white, the redeemed, and we'll sing a song that the holy angels cannot sing.
I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chain of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, the chain of sin and set me free.
One day, all of God's people are going to come from every nation and from every generation. Side by side, we're going to march into the celestial city of Jehovah. And in perfect harmony, we're going to be in humming a new song, a song composed by God, arranged for His children. And as a saved by grace approach this land of their dreams, the host of heaven is going to step aside. Even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song. It is a song reserved for the voice who once cried out for their Redeemer, those washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Church, we are the redeemed.
I am redeemed by the chain of sin and set me free.
Pastor Aaron, did you hear the message in both the skit and that song? The message and the one word that stands out to me is free. You can be free indeed. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not free, you come. You accept that free gift. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. It's just that simple. The world makes it so, so hard. God is good. He's all we need. There's another song. He's all we need. But most of all, we can be free. That message was loud and clear to me this morning, and I just want to beg and plead for
We're truly thankful for everyone that's here this morning. Message has already been given. If you feel a need to come, you come at any time. But I'd like to read just five verses from the book of Mark, fifth chapter of the book of Mark. In this chapter, the fifth chapter, just prior to this, the disciples came through a storm. And I got to thinking about this and I thought, you know, I know that many of our families are going through storms. But the key to the whole situation is Christ there with you in your storm. You can go through that storm by yourself and it'll be a frightful trip. But if you have the Lord leading you and going with you, then you can have comfort in that. They just came through the storm and Christ calmed it. And they landed on the other side. They were going from Capernaum over to the other side. And it was an area known as Decapolis. And the reason for that name is there were 10 cities in that particular countryside there. And as they landed on the shore, I thought of what took place. And I'm going to read these first five verses if I can here. So you read with me. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because of that, he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I like what he did when he saw Christ approach. The scripture says, immediately he ran to Jesus. I extend that to you this morning. Immediately, if you feel God's presence calling your lives, come and let us pray. I want to take just a quick look at this man. It said he had an unclean spirit, but later we learned that he actually had 2,000 unclean spirits. And they called him Legion. Legion in the Roman army was the largest band of soldiers that would gather together, somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000. But in this scripture, it made note that there was a multitude of unclean spirits in this man. And you know what they were doing? They were driving him crazy. You know, that's what sin will do in your life. It'll drive you crazy. It'll keep you continually looking for something that'll satisfy your every need and longing. And this morning, I want you to know there's only one that can satisfy your needs and your longings, and that's Jesus Christ. Here he was. I want to look at him where he was in the beginning. It said that they tried to chain him, like they tried to chain this morning. They tried to chain him, but because of the unclean spirits in him, he was breaking the chains. And he was running around wild, and according to Luke, he was unclothed. He was naked. You know, sin will strip you of everything you got. Sin will take away everything that you want in your life. It'll take away your family. It'll take away your friends. In this particular scripture, it said that they were binding him. They were afraid of him. But I like what happened when Jesus stepped up to him. And another thing it said was, he lived in the tombs. Who wants to live in the cemetery? Who wants to live with the dead? I know when we lose our loved ones, we go there often just to you know, be as close as we feel we can be with them. But if they're with the Lord, they're in a better place. But I thought, you know, here he was. He lived in the tombs. And it said this. It said he would be there. And let me look at this list here I made. Probably lost it, but that's okay. First of all, he was in a graveyard. Second of all, he was naked. He was being tormented on a daily basis. One scripture said he was crying. He was crying all the time that he was there. And it also says he was cutting himself with a stone. I don't know if you all are aware of it, but a lot of our young people turn to cutting when they have something going on in their lives. They'll cut themselves, and they're not really trying to take their lives, but they're trying to make a statement. But I tell you this, who is driving them to make that statement is not Jesus Christ. It is Satan, and he's trying to tell them your life's not worth living. And he'll tell you that too. But he would cut himself with stones, sharp stones. And I thought, you know, then they chained him. The fetters are what they put around your wrist and your your ankles to keep you from running off. I looked in the paper this past week. There stood a prisoner, a young man that had killed a child. And they had him chained. They had his feet chained. And they also had a helmet on him. His life was in danger because of what he had done. But I thought, you know, there's only one way that you can escape the chains of this life. And that's the same thing that Legion did here in this scripture. He ran to Jesus immediately. He was bound by by those unclean spirits that lived in him. And I thought, you know, here is about as sad a situation you could see of this young man, of what had happened in his life. We look around today and we see a lot of sad situations. We see a lot of people making, you know, just terrible decisions. And it's because of that inside unclean spirit that's driving them in that manner. Jesus wouldn't ask you to do that. He wouldn't ask you to take someone's life. He wouldn't ask you to take your own life. He wouldn't ask you to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. But when he came to Jesus, now, this morning when I got up, I was real jittery. You say, what's wrong with you, Aaron? I knew the Lord was going to be here. And if you know the Lord is in the room, sometimes you'll get jittery. Not because you're afraid of what he's going to do to you. Now, in this particular situation, those that lived within Legion were afraid of what he was going to do to them. They came to him and said, you know, what are you going to do with us, thou Son of God? They knew exactly who he was. You see, the angels of the devil know who Jesus is. And the scripture says they fear and tremble. They fear and tremble at the sight of Christ. And I thought, I knew he'd be here this morning. I wasn't afraid of what he was going to do. But I began to think about these unclean spirits that were in this man on that day. And they were afraid of what he would do, that he would destroy them. And according to the word, they asked him, they said, please don't do that to us. Please send us into the swines. Now this was an area, it was a Greek area here, and we know that the Jews did not partake of pork. So we know it wasn't Jewish farmers there. But we know that they were there raising the swine, raising large herds of swine. But I thought, you know, as they began to tremble at the feet of Jesus, you know, a lot of people have lost their fear in God today. A lot of people are just, you know, they'll blatantly say whatever they want to say. And if it's not according to God's word, then they don't even care. They don't have any respect for Christians. They don't have any respect for ministers anymore. Used to be somebody would walk by me and they'd say something that was off, you know, a curse word or whatever. They would apologize to me right on the spot. Anymore, they don't even pay attention. They just go with it and keep going. But I thought here was Christ in their presence, and he told them to come out of him, and he did send them into the swine. And I thought, you know, a lot of people are looking for a way out. A lot of people are looking for a way out, and they'll try anything there is. And here in this particular instance, he sent them into the swine, and we all know what the swine did immediately. According to the word, they ran down the hill and drowned themselves in the sea. And I thought, you know, we need to get Satan out of our lives. I'd like for all these young people that are in black, I'd like for you to stand up right up front here. I don't know that everybody got to see right here in front of the altar. I don't know if they got to see what was on your shirts. Turn around here. Look at what they've got. I'm gonna ask each of them just say what's on your shirt since I'm behind you. These are all things that Satan uses in our lives. These are all things that will bring us down. But I want you to know that Christ can set you free of that. Thank you, guys. Now, real quickly, I'm going to go from where he was until where he met Christ. And Christ took that out of his life, took those things that were driving him crazy out of his life. And down towards the latter part of that, about verse 19 or 20, it starts to talk and it says, they started looking for him. He'd been in the tombs, he'd been chained, been cutting himself, been naked, and they started looking for him. And according to the word, they came back and they found him. And according to that scripture, it said he was clothed. He was in his right mind. And he was bowing at the feet of Jesus. And you know what he was begging Jesus to do? He said, let me go with you. Let me go with you. And that's what we should be begging Jesus today. We should say, Lord, where do you want me to go? I want to be with you wherever it is. But here he was. He went from being naked, cutting himself, to being clothed and in his right mind, and most importantly, at the feet of Jesus. And what's different about this young man is Christ told him, he said, you go throughout Decapolis and you tell what I've done for you. Up until this point, you know, when he would do something, heal somebody, he'd say, now don't tell anybody. Of course, they would go do it anyway. But he told this fellow, he was probably the first missionary that went out for the Lord there at Decapolis. But I thought of this, of the chains that he had, of the things in his life that had just changed. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passes by. Oh, what a difference. You know, I'm not nervous and shaken now. But that day, and you know, I thought one day, I don't know how long it's going to be, I'll stand in his presence. You say, Aaron, are you going to be nervous and shaken that day? I don't think so. I mean, it'll be awesome to stand in his presence. It'll be awesome to stand before him. And the question that God will put out is this: what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him this morning as your Lord and Savior? Has he made a difference in your life? Or are you just wandering here and there? Wandering through, as a young boy growing up, I lived right across the road from a cemetery. And we would often go and play in the cemetery. Now you say, Aaron, that's kind of disrespectful, but I didn't know any better. Went and played in the cemetery, played hide and seek behind the stones and all that. But the minute it started to get dark, guess where Aaron was? He was headed home. But here was a man that lived in darkness. Darkness is a fearful thing. Sin brings about darkness in our lives. And it causes us to be afraid. But if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that fear can go away. And I'm praying this morning that somebody's here and you're looking and you're not satisfied with where your life's going. As we get a song of invitation, I want you to realize this. Did you see the young man as he stood before you naked and cut and chains hanging all over him? And did you see him when he met Christ? What was difference? He was clothed and in his right mind. You say, Aaron, I'm not crazy. I've never said this before. If you don't believe in Christ and trust in the Lord, you're crazy. I'm sorry. You say what you want, but I thought in my lifetime, before I came to Christ, I was a young boy. And I was afraid to die. And I was almost crazy about that because it was continually on my mind. If I die, what's going to happen to me? If you're here this morning without Christ, I can tell you what will happen to you. You'll end up in a place you don't want to be. You'll end up in a place where you'll be tormented, just like he was, throughout eternity. But you can come to Christ, and you can be kneeling beside, in front, or wherever it is. When you get to heaven, you can have that confidence this morning. So don't leave here crazy, looking for something else to satisfy you. It's not out there. The drugs won't satisfy you. The alcohol won't satisfy you. The things of this world will not satisfy you. But Jesus Christ will. As we stand and as we sing, I encourage you to come. We'll meet you here at the altar if there's a need in your life. If something else is binding you, bring it to the Lord and he can set you free this morning.
She read the story about Jesus and the woman at the well. She found herself inside those pages and wondered how she had got so far gone. So far away from home, and she cried out. Jesus stepped out from his throne, and he said, I'll do anything,
I'll pay any price, do whatever it takes,
to make something of their lives, if there's a way.
Stay. cross, lay down my life, and go to Calvary.
I'll go through hell for 3 days and come back with the keys. 'Cause I'll do anything.
Someone else needs to come. Someone else. Bring it to the Lord. Don't take it home with you. This is what He'll give you if you'll come to Him.
Along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms surround me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolls down upon me. Yet undeserved, for God's been good in my life.
I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night.
Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all,
didn't know that you have a need. If you don't read the Bible, look at the evening paper, look at the evening news, look all around your neighborhood. We were coming home from one of our grandson's birthday party, and I don't know, I lost track. Was it about 8 cars, Timmy, that passed us? 8 police cars? We didn't know where they were going. We were in a big multitude of people. Now, you said that, preacher, you're very pessimistic. No, I'm a realist.
I'm sorry.
Somebody could have stepped in that place. It was full of parents and children. Somebody could have pulled out an AK and started cutting loose. It happens.
Yes.
It used to happen in New York,
right,
in Atlanta, California, but it's in Charleston,
right,
West Virginia.
Right.
Now, God sent you to hear this message. And the only cure for the legion was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All that Aaron was just a spokesman for him.
Right.
And he gave you the message that God gave him. I want you to bow your heads. All this crowd here, and you mean nobody else but Sister Bridget and this young man? There's needs in your life. Eric don't know them. I don't know them. None of us know the needs. But no one's looking. And I want you to be honest. We're not going to bother you. We don't believe in pulling people. The only one that I want to pull is the Lord pulled you. But if you're here with heads bowed and there's a need in your life, like I said, nobody's going to bother you. Would you lift up your hand right where you're at? Be honest. Nobody? Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. If I'm right, I saw 3 hands. See, I'm like that little fellow that comes up here. I'm small in stature, so I have to come up here so I can see the hands. Is there anybody else? No one's looking but me and Aaron. Bless you. Bless you. Anybody else? You see, bless you. Bless you. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing.
Yes.
Now, you see, people's in the field of being able to help you through their studies. But the greatest helper, psychologist, whatever you want to call him, the one that can discern all of our thoughts, all of our hearts, is here this morning.
Amen.
Yes. He honored us here, right here,
right,
at Gold Time. And he decided to stop here and visit with us. Now they're going to sing the verse or whatever. And there's not watching this side, I'm watching this side. You can raise your hand, whatever you need is. I don't need to know, Aaron don't need to know, but the King of Kings knows all your thoughts, your heart, your intentions. They're going to sing, and we invite you to raise your hands to come. We'd like to pray with you. We can't save you, but He will.
One look will do.
like to thank Inheritance for coming and sharing with us this morning. A beautiful job. Sometimes you may say, why do you linger so long with an invitation? Because we want you to have a room with a view. We want you to go with us. There's only one person that stands between you and accepting the Lord, and that's yourself. So we pray that you'll make that decision, whether it's here, whether it's on your way home. Come back tonight. The young people will be in charge of the service tonight. And just pray for the service. Pray for those that raised their hands today that have a need. And just pray that God will go with us. And I know He will if we'll keep our trust in Him. The board meeting this afternoon at 4, puppet practice at 5. But just remember the service at 6 this evening. Come back and be in that service. I'm not going to dismiss you. I want you to leave in this frame of mind. Come back tonight ready to get into the service again. Good day, and God bless you.